would be one of the more practical sermons that I've ever preached, and most of my sermons are practical. As you know, my sermons almost always go someplace. Many of them go to the garbage can after I get through preaching them, but they almost always go someplace. However, on occasion, I like for us just to drive around town and sightsee. Tonight we're going no place. I have no practical application for my sermon. I'm taking one blessed truth in the Bible, and I want us to spend the next few minutes, not as long as usual, but the next few minutes, just rejoicing in the fact that God has saved us and the salvation that God has given us. Tonight I want us to be like a family driving around town to see the Christmas decorations. I want us to drive around town and look at the decorations on the Tree of Life and rejoice at what we see. I want us to open our spiritual coffers and let the riches of salvation run through our fingers for a while, that we may rejoice in our standing in Christ and our position in Him. I want us to drive by our mansion that's being prepared and see what kind of progress has been made since last we took Atlantis. I want us to bathe in the waters of salvation and taste the sweetness for a while of the bread of life. I want to take you to the windows of our ivory palaces of salvation and note that someone is looking in those windows. I want you to note who those window peepers are and who those eavesdroppers are. They're angels. The Bible says that these angels eavesdrop and window peep into the house of redemption, lusting to have what we have. They are envying our position and standing. Did you ever stop to think that angels cannot be saved? Holy, holy is what the angels sing. And someday I expect to help them make the chords of heaven ring. But when we sing redemption's story, angels fold their wings. For angels never felt the joy that our salvation brings. You ever wonder why? You ever think about this? When man fell, immediately upon the fall of man, God announced in Genesis 3:15 the coming of the Savior. He said that the seed of woman would someday bruise the head of the serpent, and the head of the serpent would someday bruise the heel of the seed of woman. And God planned to send us a Redeemer. But did you ever stop to think of an angel sinned? Not one bit of redemptive work was done for them. The moment that angels sinned, God said, okay. He said, there's a place prepared for the devil and his angels. God is building no mansion in heaven for angels tonight. They'll never inhabit one. God has given no Holy Spirit that they may indwell angels tonight. They'll never know that joy. God has not made the Holy Spirit's fullness available for seraphim and cherubim and angelic hosts tonight. They'll never know that. God has not made it possible tonight for angels to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No angel is permitted to go soul winning tonight because God wanted to save that for redeemed people. Only those who know the depth of sin, only those who know the joy of salvation. Ever dawn on you that that angels would not be resurrected? You say, why? I'll tell you why. Because God made angels to serve Him. God did not make us primarily to serve Him. God made us for fellowship with Himself. And since God made angels to be Martha's and made man to be Mary's, God said, Mary hath chosen the best thing. And God made us for the praise of His glory. God made you to shout His praises. If you're not doing it, you're not right with God. God made you to walk and talk with Him and hear Him call you His own. And the joy you share while you tarry there, none other has ever known. God made you for that. And if you're not walking with God, you're a failure tonight. And you're not right with God. God made you to lift holy hands and lift holy hosannas heavenward. God made you to look to God and say, Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise be to His name. God made you for that. That's the purpose of it all. Now, God, when God made angels, He made angels to be ministering servants, and so when angels sinned, God could make some more. But when God made people to fellowship with Himself, God wanted to redeem them and give us a chance to come back. Angels know no redemption. They fell. We fell. And Christ came for us. He did not come for them. Christ made salvation for us. He made no such salvation. And the Bible says here in our passage that angels lust. They lust for the salvation that we have. It says, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The Bible says that angels look at our salvation and they lust to have it. They look at our fellowship with God and they lust to have it. They see our names written in the book of life and they lust to have it. And the Bible said they lust to look into. And the words look into there mean to stoop sideways and get a good look. To stoop sideways and get a good look. And the angels look inside our house of redemption through the windows of grace. And they look inside and they see us inside and they in. Across the street from my house in Texas, we used to live 36 at Denley Drive. I was 10 years old. My sister was 18. And we had some neighbors across the street named Coulter. Now, we were poor. We were poor. I mean, we just were poor. But every Saturday, the Coulters went shopping for groceries. We didn't do that. And they always brought home some cheese and pimento. And they'd mash up that cheese and mash up that pimento and make mint cheese. And the Coulters had a girl about the age of my sister, and they invited my sister over to their house to eat that pimento cheese. Now, I had never eaten pimento cheese, but my sister got to do it every Saturday night. And I used to go over there and look through the window and watch them eat pimento cheese and hate my sisters inside. That's where I first started. And I used to hate her inside. And I could see them spreading that. I'd never tasted it, but I'd seen them spreading that pimento cheese on bread. And I'd see my sister putting that bread and that cheese in her mouth. And I'd bend down to look inside and be sure I got a good look. Drooling, just dropping off my chin as I'd watch them. Then one day, their boy, who was a little younger than I, he brought me a bite of that pimento cheese. Two things I'll never forget the first time I tasted. One, pimento cheese, and second, tuna fish mixed with mayonnaise. I'll never forget it as long as I live. When I first ate my first pimento cheese sandwich, brother, heaven can't compare with it. Salvation bows and blushes in contrast. And secondly, when I had my first bite of tuna fish with mayonnaise mixed in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I can recall then looking in there, and I'd eat, and it was like, I'd look in there, and I'd say, and you know, that's what angels do tonight. Angels look in those windows back there and say, well, I wish I could be in there. Angels hear us saying, joy in the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. And angels say, I wish Christmas meant to us what it means those folks who redeem. Now, many things angels have done and can do. In the Garden of Eden, it was a cherubim that took the flaming sword and swung it from side to side, preventing Cain and fallen man from entering into the garden. In the Garden of Eden, it was the cherubim who held the sword. They walked up and down Jacob's ladder. Angels came to close the mouths of lions for Daniel in the den. They came to tell Mary that she was going to be the mother of the Christ child and announced to her the coming of the Savior. And that child would be carried in her own womb, and she, by her labor, would bring that child into the world. And her hands would hold it first, and her breast would nurture it first. And her feet would be its feet first, and her lips would kiss him first. And angels came to tell that good news. Angels came to speak to Joseph and to tell Joseph not to put Mary away. But that which was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. Angels came to announce to shepherds, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And they came to announce the coming of the Christ child as shepherds watched their flocks on the hills of Judea.
Angels came at the ascension of Christ, and as the disciples gazed up into heaven, angels said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that is taken up shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go." It was angels who came and told that story. An angel came to Philip in Acts chapter 8 and verse 26 and announced to Philip that he was supposed to leave the great revival in Samaria and go down to Gaza. And an angel led him there so he could meet up with the eunuch of Ethiopia and tell him the gospel so the gospel could be taken to that part of Africa. It was an angel that came to Cornelius and told Cornelius to seek the apostle Peter. An angel came to Peter while he was on the housetop and told him to go to the house of Cornelius and tell him the redemption story. An angel came when Peter was asleep in jail while the church is praying for him and whacked him on the side and said, "Get up! I'm going to let you out." An angel came and made that announcement to Peter. An angel ministered to Jesus, or angels did, at his temptation when thrice he'd been tempted by the evil one and thrice he had taken the word of God and hurled it like the sword that it is toward the temptation and came out on top of the devil and conquered sin, temptation, and evil. But angels came and ministered to him. An angel came, or angels came, and told Lot and his family to flee Sodom because of the dirty, wicked sin of homosexuality, and the dirty, wicked, vile, stinking, rotten sin of lesbianism had caused the wrath of Almighty God. And nothing stirs the wrath of God as much as homosexuality. And nothing is more details the deterioration of a nation than homosexuality. And nothing is worse in the sight of God Almighty than lesbianism. And God sent those angels to say to Lot and Mrs. Lot and the daughters, "Get out of Sodom and run." Angels got to tell that story. Angels came and accompanied Jesus after he was tempted, and they came to strengthen him and to succor him. There was an angel that came and warned Joseph of Herod's murdering of the male children. Angel stood at the sepulcher. It was an angel that said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." An angel blocked the path of Balaam's donkey and tried to lead Balaam the perfect will of God. An angel gave the reception to John on the Isle of Patmos and told him about the great revelation. An angel told him what to tell the seven churches in Asia Minor. An angel told him about the rapture of the church. An angel told him about the marriage of the Lamb. An angel told him about the judgment seat of Christ. An angel told him about the second coming of Christ with his holy angels coming back to the earth. An angel told him about the tribulation period. An angel told him about the millennium. An angel told him about the time when a child should lie down with the lamb or play with the whole of the cockatrice, and the lamb would lie down with the lion. An angel told him about the time when men should beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. An angel told him about the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her own. An angel told him about the city being 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high. An angel told John, the beloved, about the golden streets and gates of pearl. An angel reminded John that this would be a place where no pain, nor sickness, nor weeping, nor heartache, nor heartbreak would ever enter, and no crape would ever darken the doorknob, and no shoulders would ever stoop, and no brow would ever furrow, and no face would ever wrinkle, and no hand would ever palsy, and no feet would ever tremble, and no shoulders would ever be weak, and no sickness would come. An angel told him that no sin would enter, no Playboy magazine, no Penthouse magazine, no Hollywood movies, no Broadway plays, no cursing, no profanity, no X-rated movies, and no television programs from hell, from Hollywood, by Hollywood to us. An angel came and said, there'd be a place with no lying and no cheating and no stealing and no cursing and no profanity. An angel came and told him about the holy city. An angel. I'm saying God's been mighty good to the angels. God let angels see things that you and I could not see, and God allowed those angels to come and tell us what they saw. Angels have fed the hungry. Angels have strengthened the weak. Angels have lifted the fallen. Angels have given water to the thirsty. Angels have given protection to the fearful. Angels have given assurance to the doubtful. Angels, ministering servants of God, and I believe with all of my heart that God has given to every single child of His a private individual angel whose job it is to take care of His own people. Angels have been chosen by God to do some wonderful, wonderful things. But there is one thing an angel does not have. An angel does not have salvation by the grace of Almighty God. And the Bible says they lust to have it. They long to have it. They'll never know it. They'll never know it. Angels were ever saying, redeemed how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They'll never sing it. Angels will never sing, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Angels will never sing, roll away, roll away, roll away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Angels will never sing, oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Angels can't sing that because angels never felt the joy that our salvation brings. Holy, holy is what the angels sing. And I expect to help them make the chords of heaven ring. What does it mean? That means someday I'll be in heaven and I'll sing holy, holy, holy. And in that day, Terry Duff and I won't have to read the stuff. We can sing with the folks that know how to carry the tune, because we too will know how to carry the tune in those days. And we'll sing holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. But when we sing redemption story, angels fold their wings. Angels never felt the joy that our salvation brings. Angels peeked in houses all over this area yesterday and wished they could do what we did. Sinners knelt and trusted Christ all over this great area as this church was spread like a prairie fire across the great Chicago area, again as it always is, on Saturday especially. And as people knelt and prayed the sinner's prayer, every time one did, the angel said, I wish I could have that. Oh, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You are a part of the only creation of God that God ever made, whereby God made it possible for us to live eternally and be redeemed from our sins and be restored to the place where we once were, that was caused whose breach was caused by sin. I'm saying, I hate to say this, but little puppy dogs will not be in heaven. Oh, unless they're good puppy dogs. But they'll not be in heaven. And Brother Ray, mice will not get to go to heaven either. And cats will not get to go to heaven either, Brother Ray. And especially that dog. But anyway, dogs will not get to go to heaven. And angels will not be able to have glorified bodies. And though angels will be our ministering servants in heaven, they'll have no mansions. They'll have no glorified bodies. They'll not be like Jesus. And tonight, they look and they bow down and look. The same word that you use here as angels look with lust and desire. The same word is the word that was used when Peter went to the sepulchre and looked in to see Christ, to see if he is there, and saw the empty tomb. And he bowed down and gazed. And angels do the same thing. They bowed down and gazed. They peek in houses all over this area yesterday. And as sinners came to Christ and prayed the sinner's prayer, angels looked and gazed and said, I wish we could do that. And as we carried the story of grace all of this area yesterday, and soul winners covered this place like a prairie fire, the angels said, oh, that we could. Listen, angels can deliver folks from the fiery furnace. Angels can carry the message of redeeming of the prophetic end time to John. Angels can walk up ladders and down ladders at Jacob's ladder. Angels can tell Ishmael and Hagar that God's going to protect them from their hunger and thirst in the desert, and God will make a great nation of Israel. Angels can come and tell Lot to flee Sodom, but there's one thing that God has not allowed angels to do. They've never said, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Would you like to know? If I showed you how you could know, would you do it? Angels have never said, you are a sinner. Look here. Angels cannot say, if you died, you'd go to hell. Look here. Angels cannot say, Jesus became flesh and lived a perfect life and died in your place. Angels cannot lead a soul to Christ, but every time I kneel or pray with an unsaved sinner, or you do, angels bow down and they lust. They say, oh, wish we had that. I don't understand Christian people. I don't understand why we don't shout more. I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. I understand. Well, you say, I'm just not the shouting kind. Well, brother, you get a dose of what I got and you'll become the shouting kind. I'm telling you, listen, I'll understand this. Looks like to me, brother, if my name is written in heaven, that ought to give me a spell every once in a while. Looks like to me, if I'm saved from the torments of hell, I mean, there's a hell where people die and burn forever. Thank God I'm not going there. I don't understand why folks wouldn't rejoice and shout about that. I don't understand it. Looks like to me that all of us ought to be holding up holy hands and saying, blessed be God for the great salvation. So great, angels lust and bow down and look and see through the windows of redemption and lust and wish they had what we have. They eavesdrop while we sing, while the choir sang this morning. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Angels looked through the windows of the building and they saw those sinners streaming down the aisle professing faith in Christ as Savior. An angel said, I wish I could walk an aisle and do that. I wish I could. An angel, they looked and saw the people kneeling here at the altar and getting born again with the promise of God that someday they'd have a body just like Jesus and could live in heaven forever in that glorified body. An angel said, I wish I could have a glorified body someday. An angel saw those deacons kneeling beside those unsaved people, leading those unsaved folks to Christ and salvation this morning. An angel said, I wish I could tell people about the Savior. I wish I could. Holy, holy is what the angels sing. And I expect to help them make the chords of heaven ring. But when we redeem blood-washed children of God, we tell a redemption story. Angels fold their wings. For angels never felt the joy that our salvation brings. Angels come and eavesdrop at prayer time. When I bow on my knees beside my bed before I go to bed at night, lift my heart to God and say, God, thank you for another day. And I never fail to do it. God, thank you for another day. With a hungry world, you fed me today. With a world that's cold and naked, you've clothed me today. In a world that's friendless and forsaken, you've been my friend and given me friends today. In a world that's lonely, I've not been lonely today. In a world that's lost, I have salvation today. Oh, God, my Father, thank you for another day. Thank you for another day. And praise you for your provision and love and mercy and compassion. And angels look through the window of my little motel room. Those are low window peepers. I call the police next time I see one of them. They look through the window and they say, oh, if I could only pray, if I could only talk to God, if I could only have God call me His child. But to not one angel did God ever say, child. Ah, the angels read 1 John 2 where it says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, which we call the sons of God. But behold, now we're the sons of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I'll be real honest with you. I do not know what's happened to me in recent years. I don't know. I can recall when I was a kid preacher, I've always hollered when I preached. I just never have heard anybody hollering, whispering fire. The other night I was sound asleep. I'd already counted 64,000 sheep and eaten a few of them. And I was sound asleep in a motel in Washington, D.C. area. And all of a sudden, that fire alarm went off. Boy, ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, dong-dong-dong-dong down through those hallways. I was the first guy in the hallway in my pajamas on. I am a gorgeous sight. With my pajamas on. And I went out in the hallway, and it looked like gophers coming out of their holes or something. As a door opened, out came a guy, and not a single woman, I guess, not an entire hotel, ever door had a guy standing there with his bare feet and pajamas. And they were saying, Beloved, what is the trouble? Amen. 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 And I called the office. I said, Hey, is there a fire? And they said, The Lord is in His holy temple. No, they didn't either, brother. I was staying in Saginaw, Michigan, on the top floor of the what's that hotel? Roadheiser,
not Roadway, Gunnison, Radisson, that's it. Stay out of my preaching. And Radisson Hotel, it was a Tuesday night, snow on the ground. It was about zero last year, up on the top of that thing. I was just about ready to crawl in bed late at night, and all of a sudden the alarm went off. Boy, I've often wondered what I'd do if I was up on the top of a big hotel. Now, a second floor doesn't bother me because I can jump out the window. But I don't feel led to jump on the eighth floor. I've often wondered what I'd do. There was a fire, too. This last week is a false alarm, but there was a fire. And the fire was between me and the ground because I was on the top floor. And you can't have no fires above where there ain't nothing. And man, I've often wondered what I'd do. I know what I did. I tell you exactly what I did. I took off. And you know that the fire escape little place led outside in the snow. And I was outside in the snow, barefoot, nothing but a pair of pajamas on, running as fast as I... But I did it, fellas. I went on. I braved it. Through snow and fire! And you wait till you see my biography. But anyway, I broke the all-time record for going from the eighth floor to the bottom floor. I smelled that smoke. And I got to the bottom floor, went in the lobby, ran around and came in the front door of the lobby. And there we stood, the most smart-looking crowd you ever saw in your life. But you know, I'll be honest with you. I have a little hard time keeping reserve anymore. I don't know what's happened to me. I do not know if it's increasing years or added senility. I do not know. But I know one thing. I know when I stop to think, and I'm alone in my room sometime, and I stop to think that my name is written in heaven, I just have a hard time restraining myself. And I don't really try a great deal. And I'll guarantee you at least once a month I get up on the bed with bare feet, make a trampoline out of the bed, and have a spell. You say, you sort of nutty. No, you sort of nutty. We get to heaven, you're the one that's going to be out of place. You won't know what to do. I won't have to break stride, brother. I'll be all practiced up. I'm simply saying, listen, angels look in and say, boy, I'd like to have that. I'd like to pray. I'd like to call God my Father. But angels can't do it. But thank God, I can. He's my heavenly Father. They walk down golden streets, and they look in, as they walk down golden streets today and look in those mansions, they say, I wish I had one of them. They'll never have one. But he's preparing a place for me. They see me win a soul to Christ and say, I'd like to do that. They see my name written in the book of life and they say, I wish my name were written there. They read the Christmas story and they say, I wish that were for me. They see the Holy Spirit comforting me and wish they could have His comfort. They see the Holy Spirit strengthening me and wish they could have His strength. They see the Holy Spirit teaching me and wish they could have His teaching. They see the Holy Spirit filling me and wish they could have His filling. They see the Holy Spirit leading me and wish they could have His leadership. They see salvation. And the Bible says when it talks about angels, the Bible talks about the salvation we have. Angels do not have it because it is so great a salvation. Oh, many times I pause to think about the greatness of this salvation. Bible says it's so great salvation. That word soul means the infinite. No way to describe it. We say, for God so loved the world. And the songwriter said, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, or could the whole contain the scroll, though stretched from sky to sky. And they say, so great is the love of God, for God so loved the world. How much did God love the world? No way to describe it. How great is this salvation? No way to describe it. So great that back before there was ever an earth, back before there was ever a mountain, before there was ever a tree, before there was ever a valley, before there was ever a verdant valley, before there was ever a rolling plain, before there was ever a meadow, before there was ever a beach, before there was ever a desert, before there was ever a rainbow, before a star ever twinkled in the sky, and before the moon shined, and before the sun did reign as the king of the day, and before the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper gave us enchantment at night, back before there was ever a palm tree or a redwood tree, before there was ever a gladiola, a tulip, a carnation, back before the scent of the gardenia had been sprayed on earth, back before there was ever a man, ever a creature, ever a woman, ever a boy, ever a girl, back before there was ever a blade of grass or a leaf from a tree, back before there was ever a world, before there was ever a planet, Bible says that God in His foreordinate counsel looked down and saw that man would sin. How great is this salvation, so great that Jesus said, Father, out yonder someday at the appointed time, in the fullness of time, I'll go to Calvary and I'll pay the penalty for the sins of mankind. Angels look at this salvation and they call it so great. How great is it? It's so great that in the fullness of time, Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, for there was no room for them in the inn. How great is this salvation? So great that shepherds watching their flocks by night were serenaded by angelic hosts who said, Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. How great was this salvation? So great that the shepherds went to worship Him, and wise men came from the east bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. How great is this salvation? So great that Jesus walked for 33 homesick years away from the Father. Birds had nests and foxes had holes. He had no place to lay His head. How great was this salvation? So great! He was willingly rejected by His own people, hated by His own race, exiled from His own synagogue, turned away from His own city. How great was this salvation? So great that in the fullness of time, He was in the upper room and spoke those words, Let not your hearts be troubled, believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am there, give you also. How great is this salvation? So great that the Lord of glory, the King of kings, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the way, the truth, the life, the bread of life, the living water, rose of Sharon. How great is it? He, who is God, stooped and girded Himself with a towel and bowed to wash the feet of sinful men there in the upper room. How great was the salvation? They sung on Him, and He went out to the Mount of Olives, and there on the Mount of Olives He prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done. How great was this salvation? Unholy lips kissed a holy brow. Imperfection betrayed perfection. Wrong betrayed right. And sin betrayed righteousness. And ugliness betrayed beauty. And poverty betrayed riches. And Judas placed the kiss of betrayal on the brow of our Savior. How great was this salvation? So great that they came and led Him away and took Him to the high priest and on to Pilate and to Herod and back to Pilate. How great was the salvation? So great that Pilate had Him take the cat of nine tails, that one handle whip with nine prongs and hunks of metal going up and down it, and 39 times they beat the blessed back of our Savior. Why? So you for angels? No. For seraphs? No. For cherub? No. For sinners like you and me? How great is this salvation? So great that they beat Him 39 times. And the Bible says in Isaiah, you could not even tell that His body was that of a human being. Take away this hippie on a cross they talk called Jesus on a cross. Take away the homosexual's painting of Jesus that makes Him look like one of them. Take away a long-haired, sissy-looking, effeminate person with one little wound in his side. The Bible says He was beaten 39 times. They didn't even know it was a human being. A glob up there on the cross. Not a crucifix. A glob. You couldn't even tell He was human. How great is this salvation? So great. They put Him on the cross and drove nails into His body and hung Him to the cross. How great was this salvation? They lifted that cross between heaven and earth with one point pointing toward the hell from which He saves us and one point pointing toward the heaven to which He saves us. And two points pointing to the whole world. And God is saying, everybody that way and everybody that way can be saved from that way and go that way through what's going on here on the cross. How great is this salvation? So great that God the Father looked down and for the first time was aware of the fact that His Son became sin. And God the Father turned His back upon His Son. And there on the cross, Jesus bore your sins and mine and dipped His soul in the torments of hell and suffered the sum total of all the hell that all mankind would ever suffer. How great was this salvation? So great He looked up and said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? And all of a sudden, Jesus paid it all of it. How great is this salvation? So great He gave up the ghost. They took his body and laid it in Joseph's borrowed tomb. How great is this salvation? After 3 days and three nights, 72 hours, not from Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock till Sunday morning, but 72 hours, 3 days and three nights, he was in the tomb. How great is this salvation after 72 hours? Death could not hold him. The grave could not conquer him. Sin could not keep him. The devil could not be victorious over him. But out from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. How great is this salvation, so great that for several days he walked the face of the earth in his glorified body. And people, as they talked with him, could not recognize him, but their hearts did burn within them as they listened to him teach the Word of God. How great was this salvation, so great that he went out to the Mount of Olives and lifted his hands toward heaven and ascended back to the Father. How great is this salvation, so great that tonight he sits on the right hand of God as my priestly intercessor, my daysman, my lawyer, my mediator, my go-between, pleading my case, and I'm kept saved by his life at the right hand of the Father. As my lamb, he became my propitiation, but as my risen priest, he intercedes and keeps me saved by his life. How great is his salvation, so great, at any moment the trumpet shall sound, and our mama's body shall rise from that little place out there in our memory lane. And with her, as she rises from here in Cherville, my two little sisters, buried side by side, a thousand miles away, will rise to meet our Lord in the air. And then I'll rise and receive my glorified body, and we'll ever be with the Lord. We'll never have to look away from His face again. How great is this salvation? So great that for 7 years we'll be in heaven, in the air. And we'll have what the Bible calls the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll be given crowns for our faithfulness and for our loving His appearing and for our soul winning and for our suffering. And we'll take those crowns off our heads and hurl them at Jesus' feet and say we're not worthy to wear these crowns. Let's crown Him. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let all of us prostrate fall. Bring forth those diadems and crown Him as Lord of all. How great is this salvation? It's so great that after that we'll get married to Jesus at the marriage of the Lamb. How great is this salvation? It's so great that we'll saddle on white horses and come back to earth to establish a kingdom on earth. How great is this salvation? So great that Mr. Reagan will be on the unemployed list. And Jesus shall reign the whole world from Jerusalem. And every school will be a Christian school. And Christian people shall be the governors and mayors and school board chairmen. We'll put every book that doesn't talk about Jesus off the library's shelves. We'll put anybody in jail even tries to order Playboy magazine. Mr. Hugh Hefner will be so far in the security block with the prison. How great is his salvation, so great that Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does his successive journeys run. His kingdom shall spread from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more. How great is his salvation? So great at the end of the great millennial, there'll be a resurrection of the unsaved dead, and they shall stand before God, and shall be judged each man according to his works, and shall be cast into the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. How great is his salvation? As soon as that takes place, we'll look up and see the holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know, as I preach around the country, I found when I get happy, I do like this. And I'm about to do it right now. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I'm on the way to heaven. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. I'm a child of the King. I walk with the King. Don't just sit there. Feel something. I'm saved, redeemed, born again, a child of God. Angels stoop and say, boy, I wish I could feel like he feels. Just eat your hearts out, Gabriel. Michael, you'll never know what we feel. How great is this salvation, so great that we'll live in the holy city. We'll never turn a light switch on because we'll all be lightened with the light of the world. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in.
the light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light that is shining for thee. Sweetly the light is dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. These angels see this salvation, and they lust for it. And they bow to look in and see what we have. And they say, we wish we could have it. For them, there was no Passover. For fallen angels, there was no atonement. For fallen angels, there was no upper room. For fallen angels, there was no manger. For fallen angels, there was no Gethsemane. For fallen angels, there was no Calvary. For fallen angels, there was no sepulcher. For fallen angels, there was no Pentecost. For fallen angels, there was no priesthood. For fallen angels, there's no mansion in heaven. There's no millennium, no New Jerusalem for fallen angels. And they look down and say, boy, oh boy,
look what they have. Look what they have. And they envy what we have. When man fell, there was plans for his redemption, but not so for the angels. When an angel came to tell Philip to go to Gaza, the angel said, I wish I could do that. I wish I could go. When an angel came to tell Peter to go to the house of Cornelius, as Peter left to go and tell Cornelius about salvation, the angel said, I wish I could do that. Do what, angel? I wish I could go and tell Cornelius. What else? I wish I could be like Cornelius and hear the message and be redeemed. God made the birds to sing for him. God made the flowers to bloom for him. God made the sun to shine for him. And God made the stars to twinkle for him. But God made man in his own likeness to fellowship with him. Oh, what a salvation we have. How glorious it is. How wonderful. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. Next time an angel comes and starts to do something for you, don't bow down before him. Look at him and say, you poor peasant, go ahead and shine my shoes. You'd have to be like me. Don't you do that. But I'm thankful tonight that when man fell in the Garden of Eden, God said, I made him to fellowship with me. I want him back. But when Lucifer, the son of the morning, did you know that the devil was one time God's right-hand man? The devil was at one time God's deputy. He was God's number one assistant. And when Lucifer decided to rebel and go his own way, and took those four of those angels with him, and they fell from their lofty place and were kicked out of heaven. Not one time did Jesus ever say there'll be a manger. Not one time did Jesus ever say there'll be a Gethsemane. Not one time did he ever say there'll be a Calvary. For not one angel did he come and live and die. And those angels have been consigned to hell, and they shall go to hell forever and ever and ever. Oh, how God loved us. How God loved us. I can't comprehend it. I don't understand that kind of love. But you had all the love that every mother ever had for a suckling child. And add to that all the love that every father ever had for his boy, for his daughter. And add to that all the love that every bride ever had for her new bridegroom. And add to that all the love that every bridegroom ever had for his lovely bride. And add to that all the love that a brother ever had for a sister. A husband for a wife for a husband, a sister for a brother. And add to that all the love that a friend ever had for a friend. And add to that all the love that a pastor ever had for his people and the people ever had for the pastor. And add to that all the love that anybody's ever had.
Add it all up!
Be like a teaspoonful of water compared to the mighty Pacific Ocean, compared to the love of God. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal's brain. Angel with rapture announced it. Shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. I'm not kidding now. And I'll close. I'm not kidding now. If I had one thing in life I didn't get to have, I'd love to be able to sing. Tonight as the choir was singing, I said, I wish I could carry a tune like that. And I'm saying this sincerely. I wish I could get over to those fellows and sing in the bass section, and folks wouldn't say, who's new over there? There's something different. I was singing back there. And I was sitting beside Brother Randy, and I heard him sing. It made me feel much better about my voice. But I'd love to sing. I really would. I'd love to be able to praise him like he deserves. I was on my knees in Indianapolis praying one night. And I was praying, and I was sincere. And then several hours later, I woke up, laying beside the bed. I'd gone to sleep while I was praying. Had 103 fever that night while I preached. And I said, dear God, I'm sorry. You deserve better than this. You deserve better than somebody goes to sleep while he's praising you. Someday, I'll be able to sing with a glorified voice. And someday I'll praise with glorified lips. And someday I'll serve him with a glorified body. But until that day, I will continue to revel in this salvation of which the angels envy, and for which they lust, and for which they look and bend over and look in the windows of redemption and say, I wish I had that. I wish I had that. Two words. First, if you're God's child, won't you get a good old dose of doing what God made you to do? Because I'm not a holy roller. I'm not either. I'm not a holy roller. I'm a holy praiser. Yeah. Well, you say, I'm not a Pentecostal. Well, I'm not either. But just listen, Baptists were praising God 1,800 years before Pentecostals ever invented. I wish I could tonight stop and make you realize how great what this thing is you have in you. And then I wish somehow I could reach out to those of you that don't know you're saved. And I wish I could convince you of the glorious, glorious, glorious salvation we have in Christ.